National English Proficiency Test for Doctoral Candidates of Medicine.
Part 1. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 15 short conversations between speakers. At the end of each conversation, you will hear a question about what is said. The question will be read only once. After you hear the question, read the four possible answers marked A, B, C, and D. Choose the best answers and mark the letter of your choice on the answer sheet. Listen to the following example. You will hear, I feel faint.
No wonder. You haven't had a bite all day.
Question. What's the matter with the woman? You will read, A. She is sick. B. She is bitten by an ant. C. She is hungry. D. She spilled her paint. Here C is the right answer. Now let's begin with question number one.
One. How does it look?
Well, there is some inflammation of the gums. I think we should also do a new set of x-rays.
Question. Where does this conversation most probably take place?
Question number two.
I'd say the pain started 3 or 4 months ago. It's been getting worse recently.
Are you having any other problems like weakness, fatigue, or headaches?
Question. What is the man's chief complaint?
Question number three.
Can switching a child from left-handedness to right-handedness cause a learning problem?
No, but what is true is that left-handed people are more prone to have learning difficulties.
Question. What does the woman say about left-handed people?
Question number four.
I want John to be mad about you, Bella. And if you wear this dress, he'll surely be crazy about you.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Question. What does the man mean when he recommends the dress?
Question number five. I was wondering if you have my test results in.
I didn't see anything out of the ordinary, but I want you to log onto our website for a printout of all of the details.
Question. What does the woman mean about the test results?
Question number six.
Who is Lady Gaga?
What? Have you been living under the rock?
Question. What does the woman mean about the man?
Question number seven.
I woke up with a rash and a temperature of 105 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, I want to be able to get to you when I get there. If you can unlock the back door right now, that would be great.
Question. Where does the conversation most probably take place?
Question number eight.
Health plans cover medically necessary care. But there is a problem.
What is it?
People often ask for treatment that has long been provided by state-funded regional centers and schools.
Question. What are they talking about? Question number 9.
Why should we study philosophy, Professor?
Because we teach you to improve your ability to think critically, to analyze situations, not just superficially.
Question. What is the course of philosophy for, according to the professor?
Question number 10.
How did you get started on your career path?
My family is very science and technology based, so it's no surprise that I ended up doing a career in robotics. But growing up, I was more interested in medicine and pharmacy, being a doctor or a pharmacologist or a pharmacist, and that lasted pretty much through high school.
Question. What does the woman most probably do?
Question number 11.
You have lived through 2 world wars and a Cold War. When you look ahead into the future of mankind, are you hopeful or not?
I am hopeful for the long-distant future, but for the near future, I am terribly, terribly pessimistic. I fear that many terrible things will occur around the world because mankind is in spiritual crisis.
Question. How does the woman feel about the future of mankind?
Question number 12.
It was really eye-opening for me to see the reality of how difficult it was to keep a patient safe in the hospital.
What do you mean?
Accidents happen occasionally. One time, a stethoscope fell on a patient's face and gave her a black eye. Another time, a patient suffered frequent falls and preventable side effects from drugs.
Question. What does the man imply?
Question number 13. Are you okay?
I have a tight chest, shortness of breath, chest pain, and lightheadedness.
As a paramedic, I would say we need to drive to the nearest ER immediately, and delaying treatment could lead to decreased heart function or even death.
Question. What can we infer from the conversation? Question number 14.
Good afternoon, Miss Wilkins. You've come to us from Dr. Johnson? What took you to him?
It's my periods. They've been playing me up.
Question. What is the man's job?
Question number 15.
You must try to widen your circle of friends. I think it's a mistake to get out of touch with people and get bored.
Well, I used to go to a friend, but she said I must get a job or else my husband will think he's married to an invalid.
Well, sometimes friends can say things that hurt. You must have many friends and keep the contacts open.
Question. What do we learn about the woman?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear one dialogue and 2 passages. After each one, you will hear 5 questions. After each question, read the 4 possible answers marked A, B, C, and D. Choose the best answer and mark the letter of your choice on the answer sheet. Questions 16 to 20 are based on the following dialogue.
Dialogue.
As a child, what kind of work did you think you'd be doing when you grew up?
A jockey, a dog trainer, a composer. But the only thing I've found when I'm really creative is in science.
How did you find science?
I was a cocktail waitress in Davis, California in 1972. One day, two professors from a university started talking about animal mimicry, and I asked them, "Why has no animal ever mimicked a skunk?" They were floored, and they decided that this question-asking waitress should become a scientist.
What happened then?
For 9 months, they came to the bar and brought me all kinds of scientific articles. At their urging, I applied to graduate school, and I got a PhD. I owe them my life.
When did you begin questioning the ideas that are the bedrock of immunological theory?
In graduate school, we learned that the immune system fights anything that isn't part of our bodies. But that didn't make sense to me. I wondered why we didn't reject the food we eat or the stuff in the air we breathe. But my professors all said, "Don't worry about it."
So?
So I stopped worrying. But 10 years later, I met a brilliant young oncologist. He wondered about these questions too, and we began thrashing them out.
How does your danger model differ from the standard self-non-self model of the immune system?
The self-non-self model believes the white blood cells kill anything that enters the body. But in the danger model, white blood cells wander around, waiting for an alarm signaling that something is doing damage, and then they attack.
How did you arrive at your alternate model for the immune system?
It didn't happen in a day. First, it took us a year to realize that a truly useful immune system would fight dangerous things and ignore harmless ones.
And the next?
Next, we had to figure out how the white blood cells learn about the damage.
What is the value of your theory of the immune system?
Well, one of it is that I really believe we can use vaccination to cure perhaps 80% of all cancers. The danger model predicts that some simple changes could make anti-cancer vaccinations very effective.
But there is a lot of resistance to making those simple changes based on your theory, isn't there?
The resistance isn't really to the changes. It's to the danger model itself. It's partly fair. The danger model is new, but still, I don't understand why they won't try it on cancer and animals.
Question number 16. Why did the woman end up doing a career in science? Question number 17. What have the woman and her colleagues developed? Question number 18. What are the white blood cells characterized by in the danger model? Question number 19. What does the woman say about the value of her theory? Question number 20. What does the woman suggest that we do about the changes based on the danger model?
Passage 1. With soaring healthcare costs and long waits for medical procedures, it is becoming increasingly difficult to find quality, affordable treatment. Whether you want cosmetic surgery or life-saving procedures, you might have to dig deep into your wallet or wait several months before receiving the medical or dental care that you require. Or you could try medical tourism and receive quality care for a fraction of the price and without the long wait. According to the National Coalition on Healthcare, more than 500,000 Americans traveled abroad to receive medical and dental work in 2006. And this is not an isolated trend. Every year, millions of patients from around the globe flock to some of the hottest medical tourism destinations in order to receive five-star treatment at unbelievable prices. Experts predict that by 2013, medical tourism will grow to be a $100 billion business, with more than 780 million patients traveling abroad to receive care from foreign doctors, dentists, and hospitals. These impressive figures don't necessarily include the growing alternative healing sector either. With wellness spas and Ayurvedic healing on the rise, medical tourism is clearly a global phenomenon that deserves greater attention. By exploring healism.com, you too can take part in this exciting phenomenon. We outline the steps required for a safe, enjoyable, and successful health vacation to some of the world's most popular medical tourism destinations. We also invite you to participate in our growing online community by visiting the blog, forum, article, and FAQ sections of the site. We realize that medical tourism can be a strange and daunting concept for many. The aim of healism.com is to answer your questions, address your concerns, and help you determine whether or not medical tourism is the best option for you. Take however long you need to explore. You absolutely do not want to rush into a decision like this. But when all is said and done, your medical bills, airfare, and accommodations could end up costing less than whatever deductibles and charges you would have to pay in your home country.
Question number 21. What is the talk mainly about? Question number 22. Which of the following is not mentioned as one of the factors that make medical tourism attractive? Question number 23. From the talk, what do we know about alternative medicine? Question number 24. What is it important for us to do before taking a medical trip according to the speaker? Question number 25. What is the most likely source of this talk? Passage 2. What's good for adults is not always best for the young, and vice versa. At least, that is the case with song sparrows and how they experience the effects of climate change, according to two recent studies by scientists at the University of California, Davis, and Point Blue Conservation Science. Both studies show the importance of considering the various stages and ages of individuals in a species, from babies to juveniles to adults, to best predict not only how climate change could affect a species as a whole, but also why. In the study published in print today in the journal Global Change Biology, Climate change had opposite projected effects for adult and juvenile song sparrows in central coastal California. The researchers found, not surprisingly, that adult survival was sensitive to cold winter weather. Even though we rarely see freezing temperatures on the coast of California, it was clear that an adult bird's chances of survival were lowest in the coldest winters. They expected a similar response from the young. However, warmer, drier winters translated to less food for the juvenile sparrows during the following summer. Before they can get to winter, the juveniles have to survive their first summer, when they're sensitive to how much food is available. So, as winter gets warm, we expect adults and juveniles to respond in opposite directions. In another recent study of song sparrows published in the journal Ecology, researchers found that parents provided a buffer against the weather for baby sparrows still dependent on them for food. However, independent juveniles that were newly out on their own were more sensitive to changes in the weather because they lacked the skills and experience of their parents. While that vulnerability has existed for as long as offspring have been leaving the nest, climate change is expected to worsen those already uncertain conditions. This sort of variation in juvenile survival can significantly impact a species' population growth.
Question number 26. What is the main idea of this talk? Question number 27. When were the lowest chances of survival for the adult song sparrows? Question number 28. Why does a warmer winter make it difficult for the juvenile song sparrows to survive the following summer? Question number 29. What can we learn about the baby song sparrows? Question number 30. In what aspect does climate change affect the species the speaker is talking about?